Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, a program hosted here in the studios of Great News Radio, a studio that happens to be in my home out on the west end of Mahomet with a White Heath address, Farmer City School, Mansfield Fire. I vote in Centerville, 8 acres in the woods on the mighty Sangamon River. That's about 4 feet deep right now. It averages between about a half a foot and sometimes as deep as 15 feet after the winter rains and so forth and the ice melts. But we have the privilege of sharing and dividing God's word, opening up some of our lives to you, our life experiences, and what's going on through this radio ministry. And I think, again, Jason, let's see, we've clocked in about an hour of conversation, yep. A little light havarimming together,
yep.
Talking about some of the various activities, which include a meet and greet back by popular demand. In fact, Jason and I, even this morning, were fine-tuning an application for area authors and artists to apply to be a part of the special meet and greet at the Olive Garden. It's going to happen on Tuesday night, December 4th. From 5 to 7 p.m., we'll gather at the Olive Garden restaurant. They're going to provide discounts on all the meals for everyone. So it's basically $2.50 off on your dinner entree, or depending on how much you spend, basically 10 to 20% off on the meal costs. So that'll all happen on that Tuesday night. And we're going to have a room full of authors and artists, some that we've interviewed on the air in the past that have written books or have created greeting cards or poetry, or like in the case of Donna Crotchett, she has these little fuzzy creatures that she draws with brilliant colors, and she has little kind of greeting cards and a lot of others. So that's all going to happen on Tuesday night, December 4th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. More to say about that in the coming days, but Jason and I have been talking about it, and I'm pretty excited about that. Now, you also have something that you're going to be participating in Sunday night. It's going to be an all-community worship service to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's an all-community Thanksgiving service. It's hosted by the Mahomet Ministerial Alliance. So all the churches that make up Mahomet come together and they host a Thanksgiving service. The Madrigals are going to perform. It's going to be a praise and worship band. Myself, Brian Romanowski from the First Baptist Church of Mahomet, and David Johnson from the Christian Church of Mahomet are all going to give some short devotional messages. So it's really an opportunity to you to see the church, big C church, at work together. That though we may have different buildings and in some cases maybe a little bit different ideology, we can come together and we worship the same God, we worship the same Savior, and we give thanks all in the same way to that same person. So 6 p.m. at the high school auditorium. And there'll be a free will offering that's being taken, and all of the proceeds go to Helping Hands and to Macy. So it's something that feeds back into the community, so the Mahomet Area Youth Club.
And what is Macy?
Mahomet Area Youth Club.
Okay. I was going to say, some of our, you know, with this being the Christmas season, people go to Macy's. In fact, those shoes that I wear are from Macy's. Okay. Great. I understand that. Free will offering. Great time
to pray for you, because obviously when I say Macy, the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you had a whole message series on Black Friday and the commercialization of Christmas and how we tend to overpurchase and get caught up in that, buying all these gifts and spending all these monies and charging up our credit card. And, you know, hopefully people are going to be maybe more mindful this year for the real reason behind the season and the gift giving practice. I've always appreciated what you and Tasha have done with your family. I mean, yes, Christmas is a special time of year, no doubt about it. It's the time we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that. It's the whole Christmas message. But with gift giving in the Schiffel household, you kind of had that practice where everyone gets kind of their special gift, the thing they really desire.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that and a couple other things, you prefer to celebrate Easter as the big
Easter is much bigger. I mean, I think on Easter, our kids got a big brand new wagon. We got them the Rolls Royce wagon. And I mean, and we filled the wagon up full of stuff like baseball glove, ball bat, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the wagon was topped off. I mean, and then they got candy and a big meal and the whole nine yards. Christmas, we do a want, a need, and we call it a read. So they get something that they want. It's only up to a certain amount of money, so maybe like $30 or $40. Something they need, boots, jacket. Maybe need some new pants, new gym shoes. I don't know what it is, but something they need. My wife always takes care of that because she's good with that. And then a read. They get a book. Mm-hmm. And the book is always something that we know that they'll – my son loves dinosaurs. So he last year he got this huge book on dinosaurs, like $20 book that gave you every dinosaur and what all their – you know, how much they probably weighed and blah, 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 blah. So a want, a need, and a read, and that's it. And you look underneath our tree, it's pretty sparse. And then my wife always, she goes nuts with the stockings. She has regular size stockings, but she loves to stuff it full of little stuff that she got when she was kids, jacks and pickup sticks and a little bit of candy and that. She enjoys the stockings. But we don't want – Christmas is about Jesus, and we don't want Christmas to be about what's beneath the tree, because you know what? Then we start to worship the tree, and it becomes all about the tree, and Jesus becomes just another activity that we do during Christmas and not what Christmas is centered on. So we just want to get away from that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I love the Norman Rockwell-esque nature of Christmas. I mean, the tree and the snow and the stockings, and I love all that because I deep tradition in my family with Christmas. My grandmother was nuts about Christmas. And she came out of the Great Depression, so she didn't have a lot. And Christmas was the one time of the year when it was guaranteed that family came together, and so it was a huge deal for my grandmother. And she would start on January 1st buying gifts so to ensure that by the time she got to December that everybody could get one or two or three or four, whatever it was, gifts. Everybody could get a special gift, and she was just really big on that. But more and more and more, I just go, you know what? I love the tradition and I don't know how I want to say it, just how it looks, you know, the ambiance of Christmas. But more and more I want to get rid of it, too. And more I want to just get rid of the tree and get a big old cross and put it up. You know, I mean, I just – because I want to focus on it because it's so much not about that now. And I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. It's like you've been invited to the birthday party, but you don't know who you're singing happy birthday to. I mean, seriously. You want the biggest piece of cake, but you're not willing to tell the birthday boy happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just makes me crazy.
I'm not sure where I want to go now. But I will mention next week, I'm excited about having Joey Kroll in the studio. You, Joey, and I are going to pick out some of our favorite hymns, some of those classical hymns that we've grown to love throughout the ages, some that are written from the 17th, 18th, 19th century, and we're going to kind of pick them apart, have some devotional conversation about them, and then maybe play a couple artists' rendering of that hymn through their arrangements. And so that'll be all next week, Monday through
and
Friday, Lord willing.
And I generally pick on you, and you pick on me, but we've never picked on Joey.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, a whole
team.
Week.
Yeah. So we'll see if Joey Kroll can last a week with Jason and I in the studio, and we're going to pick out some of our favorite hymns. In fact, I heard a song yesterday on the air, and I wrote it down, and I thought, I hope there's a devotional reading on that hymn or something, because there's so much that can be said about it. And so I wrote it down the time, and I need to look up that song. I have a couple ideas. I think Monday I'll lead off with, here's what we're going to be doing all week, and I'll maybe give a devotional thought or just kind of throw it out. What do you think about this? One of them is that Give Me Jesus, that Fernando Ortega. I just love that whole song.
So he's going to do that, and then me and Joey will have about 30 seconds at the end to jump in.
Well, then I'm going to let, like, you have 2 days, because I think you already have done a little research, and you have a couple hymns that are dear to your heart. And then I emailed Joey yesterday and said, Joey, pick out a couple hymns that are dear to your heart and find some arrangements, and we can do a combination of talking about it, playing a version or two of that hymn, and then talking some more about it. So that'll be a sneak preview, Lord willing, if all things come together next week with Jason and Joey and Mark in the studio. So be praying that up, and hopefully through our study and through our sharing, you'll be blessed and you'll learn a little more about the story behind why that hymn was written and what the intent was and how maybe contemporary artists are now singing it to the masses. So, well, let's see. What else? Do we have anything else we've covered? Oh, and yesterday and Monday, if you tuned in, you would have heard Ernest Thorpe share some of his World War II story and testimony, being a POW, being shot down, and being incarcerated by the Germans. And I can't remember, during his interview, he said there was 100,000 people in his prison camp. And I wasn't sure if he meant to say thousands, but he did say 100,000. I didn't get to ask him if there was really a POW camp during World War II where there was 100,000.
Probably.
I was like, wow. But he said when they got liberated, it was bedlam. It was wild when they saw the German flag come down and the American flag come up. But That program, Monday and Tuesday, is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And I really emphasize the past, really, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, encourage the veterans, those that have served in our armed forces. I mean, the liberties that we enjoy came at a cost, and we want to continue to thank them. So we ever see somebody in uniform, I've done this at the airport, and I just love to do it spontaneously. Sometimes I'll carry a gift card with me. I'll just go up to them or give them $20 and say, hey, have a lunch on me, or salute them, or say a kind word, or just give them a thumbs up. I mean, they serve, they stand in harm's way on our behalf, and so we always want to honor our veterans.
And that's a good transition, I think. On Sunday morning, we celebrated the November 11th was the day that we honor and acknowledge the persecuted church, and also it was the day that we honor our veterans, and both came at a cost. Both have a cost. And I would say this, too, that everything that we do has a cost to it. Everything that and we have to count the cost. I mean, even if something as simple as you say, you know what, hey, we want to buy a new car, and in order to do that, I think I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have to work a little extra overtime to be able to swing it. You need to sit down and have a meeting with your family, because you need to count the cost. There's a cost in everything. If you make a decision to do something, you have to take something from somewhere else. You don't have an infinite amount of time. You have a small amount of time. And so you got to think of it like a coin pouch or something. If you take some coins out of it, there's a cost to it. You can only fit so much in there. And we studied on Sunday morning out of Luke chapter 14, where Jesus says the cost of being a disciple. And I think, you know, our veterans, very fascinating, a number of like a month ago, I think it's like fifth cousin, twice, three times, 10 times removed. I'm not really sure. But my grandmother was Mary Lou Delano, and she was related closer to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And so somebody had turned me on, or somehow I had seen a picture of the Bibles that were given out to our servicemen in World War II. And when you open it up, and I neglected to bring it today, when you open it up, there's this personal message from Franklin Delano Roosevelt that said that Scripture is the highest aspiration of man, that Scripture for ages have been the bedrock that men have read and studied and have given them great comfort in times of great turmoil. And just a powerful message from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and really embedded inside of that message is count the cost of everything you do. And one of the things that when you're counting the cost that you must do is go to God's Word, because God's Word will help you to order your life and your priorities. It will help you to count the cost and what is the more important matters. And Jesus talks about that in Luke chapter 14. Really interesting is that he starts by, he's at a Pharisee's house, and that, as usual, doesn't always go so well. The Pharisees are out to get him. But then he tells this parable of a great banquet, and it's a fascinating salvation message that Jesus gives, the parable of the great banquet. And directly off the heels of that, he gives a teaching called the cost of being a disciple. Now, I always want us to kind of step back from Scripture and look at it as a big picture. Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house. Pharisee questions him. Then he gives this great salvation message called the parable of the great banquet. Then he tells them what it means to be a disciple, what the cost of being a disciple is. And then immediately he goes into chapter 15, well known, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. So he says, look, if you want to be my disciple, there's a cost to it, and now there's a mission to it. When you step back from Scripture, Jesus is very intentional in how he's ordering his messages, his thoughts. And these didn't come all at one time in one place. These were over a span of days. So Jesus was intentional about his life and how he ordered his life and his days and his messages within that time. But it says in the cost of being a disciple, it says, beginning in verse 25 of chapter 14, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If anyone does not carry his cross and follow me, he cannot be a disciple. First things first. In Hebrew, there is no, and Jesus would have spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, but I think I side with Hebrew, not Aramaic. There is no punctuation, so a punctuation mark in Hebrew is always repetition. Note that in verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and anyone, he cannot be my disciple. Down in verse 33, he says, any of you cannot be my disciple. Three times in this teaching, he says that, he emphasizes it. That's his exclamation point. Jesus is saying, if... Look, this is fascinating, because the beginning, he says anyone. which means the invitation to the kingdom of God is wide. You can come into the kingdom of God and know Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, Christ. He's the King. You can know this King. But if you don't count the cost, you cannot, as emphatic as he is about the invitation, as emphatic as he is about the cost, and that you might not be able to be his disciple because you might not give all your heart to following him. And then he goes on to say this great thing. He says, by the way, if you want to come to me, you got to hate your father, you got to hate your mother, got to hate your wife, got to hate your children, got to hate your brothers, got to hate your sisters, got to even hate your own life. Stop for a minute and think about how different is your evangelism than Jesus' evangelism. Yes. I mean, really. I mean, imagine the Sunday morning where the pastor gets up and he goes, and now I just want to talk about Jesus for a minute. And in the background, somebody plays the light trailing piano music. And if you want Jesus to be your Savior, you can come forward now. And as you do that, what you don't see is the guy who's got the closet open. He's wheeling out the baptismal, you know, and they're playing 10 verses of Just As I Am over and over and over again. And people are rushing to the stage. And the pastor said, there's one more in the crowd. I can feel it. And he's rushing to the stage. And, you know,
And your prayers are going to be answered. Blessings are going to be given over to you. Everything's going to work out well. I mean, it's very enticing. It's very welcoming. You're
Hallelujah.
Going to be blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's great. That is great. But I just want you to understand the difference between that and Jesus' evangelism. Jesus here goes, you imagine
his disciples are scratching their heads saying, Jesus, we're losing people. Shut
well,
up.
Look at, and in the beginning of verse 25, there's an enthusiasm. It's large crowds. And in large crowds, and this time, Jesus got a mega church. And Jesus goes, guys, this is going to be the big Sunday. I mean, we're going to really fill it up. And they're like, oh, Jesus, it's the mega church. All right. And Jesus gets up and he goes, if any of you, and they're going, oh, man, here it comes. Here it comes. Another one of those water into wine kingdom of God messages. And then he goes, you're going to hate your brother. You're going to hate your dad. You're going to hate your mom. You're going to hate your sister. You've got to hate your wife. Got to even hate yourself. And they're going, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And then they elected a new senior pastor. No. But that's the difference between our evangelism and Jesus' evangelism. You know why? Because Jesus wants us to count the cost. Jesus doesn't just want us to come to him willy-nilly, because you know what he knows is going to happen? Is you're going to have to get rededicated next year. You're going to have to get rededicated 2 years down the road. You're going to have to fall away and come back. You're going to go in and out because you never counted the cost. He even comes behind this. And by the way, he says, if anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's hit the pause button for just a minute. Carrying your cross doesn't mean what you think it means. Okay? In that time and in that age, in Deuteronomy and in Galatians, it says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. To carry a cross was a swear word. It was a sentence of death. You were on your way to die, to be hung upon this cross and to die, to be eaten by crows and that, to be, just think, the most brutal thing. I have heard way too many times people use this metaphor for carrying the cross for things that have nothing to do with what it means to carry the cross. Oh, man, the Wi-Fi doesn't work today. I guess it's my cross to carry. You know, or somebody says, oh, man, I have to work extra hours today. I guess it's my cross to carry.
I'm being persecuted. Somebody looked at me wrong yesterday. I'm so persecuted.
Yeah.
I asked her to come to Jesus, and she only filled my coffee cup half full. I guess it's my cross to carry.
That is not a cross to carry. That is not a cross to carry. If it's the week before Christmas and you have to park in the H lot at the mall, that's not your cross to carry. Oh, man. It's not. So I just want to say something about that because I hear way too many times people using it as a metaphor for the trivial things in their lives, when to carry a cross means something entirely different. And when we honor and think about our friends in the persecuted church, they are carrying a cross. They're meeting in a basement, huddled together, singing praises to God and reading the one Bible that hasn't been taken and burned yet. And they are probably much closer to carrying the cross than those of us who have the Bible in the backseat of the car whose the edges are wilting up because of the sun. And then Jesus goes on to say, he says, verse 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. It's a personal message. You see, one of you wants to build a tower. And he goes, don't you need to count the cost? Because if you don't count the cost, you're not going to finish the tower. What he says is, look, you want to live the Christian life, but you don't want to do everything that has to do it. So you're going to try and erect this Christian life, but you're only going to live it halfway. And it's going to look hollow, and people are going to call you a hypocrite. And you know who I'm talking about already. You probably got somebody in your mind who you go, oh, yeah, that person. And then Jesus goes on and he says, or suppose a king is about to go to war with another king. And he begins to say about 20,000 men and 10,000 men. This is a public thing here. So Jesus begins with a personal you, building a tower, your Christian life. Then he goes on to a public. What about your life in view of everybody else? Are you going to go to war with 10,000 people? Are you going to fight that battle that it might just be more Christ-like to say, you know, I'm just going to let that one go because it's not a big deal. And I don't really want to ruin my friendships over this. I don't want to really dismantle my life over this one thing. Instead, I want to show the grace and love that Jesus has showed me and just said, okay, I'm going to count the cost because that's what Jesus says. Then he goes on, because we've only got about a minute left. He goes on to say, salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? He says it's neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. What he's saying, and this is an agricultural society, so you don't want to ruin the soil because you're going to grow things there, and you don't want to ruin the manure pile because that's your compost. But he's talking about salt. And salt's a seasoning, right, Mark? Salt's a seasoning and a preservative. Yeah. So the salt that Jesus is talking about is a preservative, you preserving the gospel and the gospel preserving you. And then salt is also a seasoning. Jesus is calling you to go out in the world and be, as a Christian, the seasoning in the world. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a meal and you go, oh, man, you know, it's just missing something. And you put a little dash of salt in it and you go, oh, man, that's how it tastes really good. You know what? I've been in many rooms where it's going pretty good. And then when you enter, when the Christian is added, a good Christian, a Christian who hasn't half built the tower, a Christian who in public knows what battles to fight and what not battles to fight, they bring such sauce and seasoning to the moments because they bring the seasoning and flavor of Christ, the presence of Christ.
Well, the battle that I can't fight is preempting SRN News.
That SRN News.
Shame on that SRN News. And also, I want to point out, speaking of seasoning, this Sunday at your church, isn't there going to be like a Thanksgiving meal right after the service?
We're going to go through Ruth chapter 3, where Jesus makes a way, and then afterwards, we're going to make a way to some turkey and some stuffing and some potatoes, and that is my favorite Christian word, free. So come at 10:45, the book of Ruth. At noon, we're going to have turkey and stuffing and all the trimmings, and then we're going to decorate for Christmas.
So if you don't have a church home and you're available to come out to the Community Evangelical Free Church this Sunday, 10:45 service. It's located right off of Route 47 in Mahomet, Illinois. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.